The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is Thursday. It is January 2nd, 2020. 2020, that has a nice ring to it. Way better than 2019. What do you think, Jeff?
I think 2020 is going to be awesome all the way around.
And I'm joined in the studio this morning. This is Trish Clark because it's Thursday. I had a radio going in the background. It is Trish Clark. It is Thursday. It isn't Carl and Linda. I'm going to host the show this morning, the first talk radio, Free Fire Radio show of 2020. And I'm joined in the studio with Jeff Keyser, the city manager from the city of Anderson.
Good morning, and feel honored to be your first show of the year.
There you go. It's 40 degrees in downtown Reading. Today we're looking for mostly sunny with a high near 62. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 39. On Friday, partly sunny with a high near 50. And on Friday night, a 70% chance of precipitation. I always have a problem with that word. And a low around 41. On Saturday, 40% chance of showers before 10 p.m. Saturday night and a high of 56, a low of 35 and partly cloudy. Sunday, sunny with a high near 56 and a low of 36. On Monday, sunny again and just a slight chance of showers on Tuesday night. So the weather's looking fairly nice throughout the next week. We're, as always, the weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Modern technology. I checked the temperature outside and something came on my phone at the same time, so it was playing in the background. Thank you, Sue, for coming in and shutting that off. I love technology. So, Jeff, first show of the year. We're going to talk, everybody listen up here, we're going to talk about one of the other parts of the county a little bit today, the city of Anderson, and kind of find out what's happening there, what's happened in the last year, and where we're going.
Sounds good. Always excited to come visit with you guys up here about Anderson and all the good things we have going on.
Well, exactly, because, you know, we always have said that not everybody lives in the city of Reading. Only 50% of the people that live in Shasta County actually live in the city of Reading. We all shop here and take part in things. But I think it's kind of nice to talk about some of the other areas of the county because we all need to do well for the whole thing to work.
Absolutely. And I think Anderson's a key part of that. And I think we've demonstrated things for the region and how things could work throughout the region with public safety, for example. That's been an important part of our city and our city council's goals. And we've demonstrated with our public safety sales tax that we can do the right thing with that money if that is passed. And so public safety is a huge part of our city. I truly believe you can't have a lot till you have public safety, right? Got to be safe in your community.
That's exactly right. You know, it's all well and fine to have all kinds of amenities and places to go and things to do. But if you can't be safe in your own home and when you're out and about enjoying those other venues, then there just isn't. There is no quality of life.
Right.
And that's where it starts.
It absolutely does. And I think we've tackled that head on. We have a great police force. We have an innovative police force. And we're out doing good things in our community because they're not just a police force. They're a part of your community, both for the negative things and the positive things. And I think we tend to forget that, too. But, you know, so you can see that in Anderson. I think some of the exciting things, though, Trish, look at the housing we're building. I know right now for 2020, I have 40 building permits for new single-family homes already in, ready to go. That's awesome for our little town.
Well, it is. And what I'm just delighted to see is for many years, as you know, way back, I was on the Anderson City Council, and one of the things that always bothered me is we had very few nice homes. We had a lot of HUD housing. We had a lot of low income, which we need. I mean, you need
absolutely
that starter home.
But you need a mix.
But we didn't have a good mix. We had some high-end homes. We had some low-end homes. We didn't have that, you know, mid-range, nice family dwelling with a little yard, a little bigger yard, a few amenities. And gosh, we're starting with we've got so many subdivisions going now, where there are those step-up homes as opposed to all starter homes.
Absolutely. They're places anyone would want to live. And so we're very proud of that. If you haven't been up behind Walmart, I can't say enough to people, take some time when you're down at our Walmart and go up behind Walmart. Drive up there into Pleasant Hills and Skyview. See the nice homes. See some of the best views in Shasta County, too, from those particular subdivisions.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that people forget. They're always talking about a view. Wow, there is no better view in the world. I mean, you got Lassen, you got Mount Shasta, you got
right?
unobstructed views in all directions and beautiful scenery up there.
And in fact, Pleasant Hills, as he starts his third phase, he goes up the hill kind of behind where the one water reservoir sits, and he's going to have equal views to what the Skyview subdivision does in that last phase. And so, you know, there's something about waking up to a great view every morning, right?
Absolutely.
And we have these natural resources, like you say, of Shasta and Lassen. What a great opportunity to enjoy those, you know, every day when you're there at home.
And I understand there's, and along with that, I know across from the Frontier Senior Center there in Anderson, we have a commercial.
Kind of a heavy commercial, light industrial development. Frank Nichols is putting in kind of one of our most called for business needs. As you go into business, you're kind of looking for a very small office and somewhere to store your stuff or conduct business out of. So that building where you can have a bay, if you will, or a garage and a little office and the restroom that needs to get your business done, he's actually building a few of those. And we have more call for that, kind of the Oxyoke development, if you will.
Exactly.
And, you know, so we're thrilled to have Frank coming forward building that. And then on top of that, Jack Baker's going to step in and pick up a piece of property, the East Street Extension, and do the same thing. Eric Dutton started that years ago. It's repopulated owners, and Jack's going to move that forward, kind of going to fill in East Street there down by B-Jack and stuff along the 273 in the railroad corridor.
Oh, okay.
And so that's been a project, probably been around 20 years now, but it's finally coming to fruition, and that'll create a lot of opportunity for our business owners who need that kind of building to conduct their business in the right zoning, with the right utilities, all those things you need in today's world.
And from my point of view, I'm awfully glad to get rid of that empty lot.
Absolutely.
A place for bad things to happen across from the Frontier.
Yeah, there's been some challenges there over the years.
There certainly has, and I know the APD has spent a considerable amount of time down there trying to roust those people out and keep that a safe area for the seniors, and I appreciate all they've
done. Even the development right to the directly west of the senior center, and how he's gone through and refurbished that building and brought new life in there. We have a lot of that going on in town, and so it's kind of an exciting time.
What's going in there?
I think he does automotive work, body shop work. It might be more on the custom side, but there's a lot of those little business owners.
And that you're speaking of the old Williams Cabinet.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which I was really sorry to see him close up business.
Long time in Anderson.
Absolutely. I mean, all the cabinets in my home were built by William Cabinets. A great deal of work over the years. Just a shout out to Ron Robb, who owned that business. All of the cabinetry that was added over the years at the Frontier Senior Center was added by Ron, and most times as a donation or a trade.
Wow.
So
yeah.
he was a real community member, a real nice guy.
I think that's a great example, though, of things that are very positive here in Shasta County we forget about. It's not just in Anderson. We have that throughout Shasta County, these business people that continually give back. And we need that. And Anderson has a lot of that, our service clubs, Anderson Rotary. I think the Senior Center is a good example that you're involved in, the Kiwanis Club. You can go on and on about all these clubs. Anderson Explodes. We have a lot of them, and that's what makes a great community.
Well, it is, and so we always want to encourage everybody to go with these local business owners, not go to the ones that are box stores, but the local business owners, the people that are involved in our Rotary and all that, we really want to be sure and go to them. So when we come back, we'll talk about maybe some of the commercial projects that we've got in front of us. And right now, we're going to take a break and be back right after these messages.
I I've seen trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 4. Crime is the number one issue in Shasta County today, causing noticeable deterioration in our quality of life. The current Board of Supervisors' answer to this is to raise your taxes. California is already the highest tax state in the union, and this only pushes people out of our county and our state. There is a better way, and that is to grow our economy. Reducing regulations and fees is the answer, and I will fight for this. I am Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Good lead back in, because that's what we're talking about in the city of Anderson. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you have a question about something going on in the city of Anderson that you'd like to know about, give us a call at 605-4567. It is Thursday morning. This is Trish Clark, because I'm always here on Thursdays. Carl isn't with us today, and I'm joined in the studio right now with Jeff Keyser from the city of Anderson. And we're talking about all things Anderson and things coming in the future.
We are. And, you know, we ought to hit on and we ought to give a little patronage to our biggest contract going on right now, and that's I-5. We're getting six lanes through Anderson. We're actually getting four lanes in each direction between Deschutes and Balls Ferry. There'll be a collector lane on the right side there on each side. So that merge that's happened, like when you come Deschutes northbound, for example, and you have to climb the grade to get up to I-5, you'll have all the way to Balls Ferry before you need to move over. So the commercial truck traffic that is heavy and may have a harder time accelerating and need more time, they're going to have all that now. So.
Okay, so that's what that big rise is.
Well, the big rise is to clear the railroad overhead. The railroad wanted certain things met in current design criteria. They wanted a clear span area. And so in order to achieve that, Caltrans has to raise the grade of the road. It's somewhere in the 11 to 13 feet height elevation gain there. So right now in the center, you see the center of the road up quite a bit higher. Well, it'll all eventually be there. But that's for railroad clearance, actually.
Okay, so the other side of the lane we're on now will actually be raised up to that height as well?
It will. As soon as they get the center section complete, they'll move the traffic to the inside, and then they'll do the outside. And that's why they've said it could be up to a three-year job. So that makes a little more sense now what's happening, you know, with the elevation change and the raise in the grade. They've got to build the center section out, move traffic over, and then they'll be able to complete the outside lane work.
Okay, that's always boggled me. And I also want to point out to everybody that it's no longer the 45 and 55 all the way from Reading to Anderson. That was getting a bit on everybody's nerves, but I mentioned on the air the other day that it's now almost totally 65 from the time you leave Anderson till the time you get into Reading. If you're going north,
right,
and coming south, it stays 65. It's only, what, a 2 or 3 mile area now?
Well, it's pretty much
8 hours.
Just the Anderson city limits, that because that's where all the structures are.
Right.
And so everything south of the river, if you will, still has the slower speed limit. But the J.F. Shea is the contractor out there, and they've been doing a great job, along with Caltrans. They're keeping the city informed because there's a little bit of effect to our surface streets, north, south, Deschutes, and those kind of things, Balls Ferry. So we really appreciate their cooperation and professionalism. And also, it's great to see how quick they're moving, because look what they've done in a short time frame.
Exactly.
And so, you know, kudos to J.F. Shea and their crew for out there getting it done. And again, and you know, as I travel and you travel, look how fortunate we are to have this many lanes on I-5 with our population base versus drive through Sacramento, folks, and see where they still have two lanes. You got to give it to our transportation planning agency and our transportation planning people here in Shasta County for being aggressive and going after those dollars for Shasta County.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that makes it a whole lot more palatable for people now to know that they're not facing that both ways, because that did get a bit tedious.
Yep,
I do that road sometimes twice a day and at least 3 or 4 times a week, and it was challenging.
Well,
and especially because people will not slow down when they get into a zone.
Yeah, driving's a whole other topic, right? But look at the positives that will bring us as a region, because now those traffic improvements that may be required through a development or something, they're done.
Yes.
I-5's ready to go. That's huge.
And so, two bridge structures there in Anderson that we're going to need those improvements at some point.
Absolutely. So we're really benefiting from this, not only in Anderson, but as a region. So let's talk commercial business growth.
Yes, do.
I think there's some exciting things coming. I can only talk about certain things to a level. But do look for nice announcements coming in 2020 in Anderson. And some of the things that we're seeing right now that are coming into City Hall that are kind of exciting, I call them real projects. When a national developer comes to you and they've already laid out their project on a parcel, they've never visited with you, they know how to go through the website, understand your zoning and all the California regulation, and they lay it down in front of you, those are what I call real projects. They've already invested money into that parcel and seen how their project could lay out. And there's actually a few companies looking at California right now, and Anderson specifically, that have not been in California. So that's kind of exciting, because at times
makes you wonder what they're thinking. But
well, there is money to be made here, though, right? And when I travel and talk about Anderson and business development, we do hear the, ooh, you're from California. But, you know, there is money to be made here.
Mm-hmm.
There are challenges. We'll help you through the challenges. But let's talk about how your company can be successful here. So I think you're going to see some growth in manufacturing. We've had the old Roseburg property that we've annexed in, or Roseburg annexed in, you know, several years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's growth opportunity now within the city limits. Opportunity zones, we've heard a little bit about those from a national perspective, something that the federal government has put in place. And we have some opportunity zones in the city of Anderson that we have developers looking at. How can they take advantage of those tax benefits that an opportunity zone would bring? But you've also seen some stuff along I-5. We have, one thing is Anderson, we have developable I-5 commercial property.
And that is, that. See, that's something that's not, there's not a lot of that available left in Shasta County.
Right. And you know, growth is going to kind of come to the south. We have the utilities. We have the infrastructure. So it's a natural, it's a timing issue, of course, but we're ready. And right now, I think we have more I-5 frontage property in escrow than I've seen in my whole time in Anderson. So that's an exciting thing. And it's this battle people need to understand. Do rooftops come first, or does industry come first, or commercial industry? And, you know, right now it seems like you need a certain amount of rooftops before other things will grow. And so I think you're going to see some of that in 2020 in Anderson. We've talked a little bit about the light industrial or heavy commercial development, you know, across from the senior center, the Jack Baker project to bring some buildings available, more of the Oxyoke type thing where businesses can get a start and conduct business out of. But, you know, Portside Fish and Chips has just opened down in the outlets, and we need food, right?
We desperately need. I just want somebody to come down and put in a really nice steakhouse restaurant in the city of Anderson.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
And I think people do understand too, but food's very expensive to get started. The commercial kitchen, just to build the commercial kitchen today's standards, you've got to sell a lot of French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And there
are a lot of eating establishments available in Shasta County.
Absolutely. We as Shasta County, it is part of our culture though. We do like to go out to eat.
Yes.
Because even during the downturn, you know, we didn't lose a lot of restaurants. People continue to do that. And so I think people are looking at those too, but I think you're going to see some nice things come to Anderson. I think you're going to see some things move our way a little bit. And, I think 2020 could be a very exciting time. Even the roundabout parcels, when we built the off ramp, I really felt, hey, you create the access, things will happen there. And it's been kind of slow. Industry's changed since the downturn. What repopulates? What doesn't? What do we buy online? All those factors. But, I actually have a meeting next Monday with a business that's looking at one of those parcels. Again, an out-of-the-state retailer that's been looking in Northern California and looking at the California market and feel that our region is a very good fit for their store. So those are exciting things, Trish.
Well, and we go back just to tie all that together, go back with the access now between the city of Anderson and Reading, widening of those lanes, makes it a whole lot more feasible now to see the connection and why you can put something that's going to draw from all over Shasta County in the city of Anderson and have that easy access to get to it.
Well, and as we talk about those things, and I talk with retailers, you know, they draw radiuses of population, demographics, and bases. And why are we any different than Roseville is to Sacramento or something like that? So, you know, it's just a few minutes. The distance is the same from Anderson as it is from Reading to Anderson. Right?
I tell people that all the time, yeah.
And so look at what people drive to us now. Mosquito Serenade's a great example of a venue that we host down there where people come in groves. Anderson Explodes. So it's
the Shasta District Fairgrounds.
The fair, exactly.
How many events go on there on a regular basis that are sold out?
Absolutely. Almost every weekend, right?
Exactly.
You know, I think that's less of an issue. And again, we create the infrastructure where people can easily achieve that, that those hurdles will be eliminated. And I think one of the things we as a city have done is we've tried to eliminate hurdles during the slow time, if you will, in the downtime. You know this. The fire department has a ladder truck. So how is that a benefit? Well, if you get a tall building or a commercial building wanting to come along that's multiple story, you don't have that firefighting issue that we can't defend it. Well, we're already ready to go for that. And So the property owner who sold all of the Walmart property, I won't give his name, but he's actually came in and said, hey, I had this zoned as residential, but what if we built some commercial office space up on the hill here and that overlooked the valley and you had the views? Isn't that what we're looking for? So I think it's a great time.
Well, it is. And I think I really want to make a point about the infrastructure, because so often when you come in to start a project, you look at and you're talking about sewer and you're talking about water and you're talking about extending electricity and you're talking about all of these things that add lots of money.
Huge cost.
A huge cost to a project. So when you can say that you can come into a space and actually have available, you don't have to worry about sewer, it's there. You don't have to worry about the electricity and extending lines and freeway access and major ramps and stuff. So that's a really good thing. We do have a phone call, and we'll go to that right after we take these messages, and then we'll talk to you, Kay, when we come back.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
Armstrong and Getty here. We'll be on right after Carl and Linda's Free Fire Radio Show.
Join us right here from 9 till noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Ashley does such a great job bringing us back all the time. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you have a question, give us a call at 605-4567. This is Trish Clark. It's the first day, the first Free Fire Radio show of 2020, first live show. We're going to go to the phones right now and speak with Kay. Good morning, Kay.
Hi, Trish. Who are you on with?
Jeff Keyser from the City of Anderson, City Manager.
Okay. Great. Happy New Year. I was wondering, what's going to happen with the outlet stores? I mean, I think that is such a wonderful concept, and you can get so many wonderful good deals and nice new clothes that are, you know. I mean, it's just wonderful, and yet everything's vacant, it seems, almost.
I think the outlet store, and I think you'll find that in most of them up and down the freeway, are kind of starting to be a little thing of the past. I think Jeff could probably address that whole concept.
Well, they aren't in Vacaville.
Yeah, that's true.
Kay, that's a great point and a great question. So we've actually met with Rick and Gary. They're our outlet owners down there in town. Mm-hmm. And here's what they say when we kind of push them on those same points you've just made. When their property is not large enough to sustain a modern outlet development anymore. When you go to Vacaville, when you go up to Oregon, they're, what, 5 and 6 times the size.
Oh, yeah, they're blocks.
They're
blocks,
huge,
blocks,
right? Yeah. They're huge. And so what they have done in Anderson, or what they have chose to do, is they've converted it to what they call a daily need center. And so that's where the grocery outlet comes in. That's mm-hmm. where the Dollar Tree. They feel that's a better fit in today's world. And again, if the outlet type stores don't want to come to your development, you have to do something different. And so
right.
they're working on that. Now, we have a group that we call ACE, Anderson Community for Economic Development. So we actually called them into one of our board meetings and said, hey, guys, what's going on? We see the empty stores. We want you to be successful. We need you to be successful.
Sure.
And what does that look like? And so we threw a bunch of different ideas out to them of how that center could maybe be repopulated, rebranded, different ideas and thoughts, because you have two things. You have our local community, not just the city of Anderson, mm-hmm. but Happy Valley, Cottonwood, Palo Cedro, that
right.
can all easily get there. But you also have the I-5 traveler, 50,000 cars. How can we make your center more advantageous? So we threw out a lot of brainstorming ideas with their marketing team and them. So we are working with them. The outlet concept, though, from what it was, will be different.
Well, is the configuration wrong?
Yeah. So you're pretty savvy, Kay. And so that's a great point. So one of the things they told us was our buildings are narrow and long.
Mm-hmm.
And most retailers don't want that many square feet in that configuration. But the way the buildings were designed, it's very hard to split them in half because the bathrooms and those other utilities are all on the back half,
oh.
but you have to provide certain things,
right.
and so those are challenges. But again, Kay, I have to tell you, there are positives down there, too. Look at Portside Fish and Chips coming in. Boot Barn mm-hmm. has expanded. Their grocery outlet does very well down there, so they are working with other retailers. I've actually met with Rick and Gary even before in Las Vegas at what they call ICSC, the International Council of Shopping Centers, and met with potential tenants with them, and we'll continue to do those things with our economic development group in the city itself, because we want them to thrive too. But it is a challenge in Northern California to repopulate an outlet center.
Although I think it's interesting, I was fortunate to have been gone to the outlets in Pennsylvania, you know, where they really are where the factories were.
Sure.
And boy, I mean, if you've ever been to that, there's a
lot of bargains.
It's not the same thing at all. I mean, I got these underwear, these lollipop underwear, and they had all these little funny dart things in them. You know, I mean, I got them, they were like 10 for a dollar. I mean, I just loaded up on them.
Thanks, Kay. That's great. No, and good thoughts, because certainly we've all had those conversations. Without the movie theater and Mary's Pizza out in the outlets, shout out to both of those, because they kept it even viable for a long time.
Absolutely.
And I know that I just heard that we just lost Dress Barn.
Yeah, but I think that's more than just Anderson. That's a national.
Well, and I want to point out that this has been the case on every one of those that's come through. Over the time that's been open,
absolutely.
There have been really great dress shops out there, really good businesses. And every time when I have spoken to the people as they're all of a sudden getting notice on Friday that they're out of there on Monday, it has never been a sales issue in the Shasta Factory outlets.
Yeah, but
it has always been a corporate decision from someplace else that they make, but it hasn't been because people weren't shopping there.
And I think we need to remember, if you look around the region and around the state, the strip mall-esque development is changing and dying and rebranding as time goes on.
That's more a strip mall than an actual outlet.
It really is.
It's not big enough.
Right. And the owners are aware that they, you know, so these owners are not one off. They also own outlets up in Bend, Oregon, and one beyond that even. And so they are engaged. They do have a marketing team, but it is a tough property to rebrand, if you will, and change configuration around, because all that costs money too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they are out aggressively trying to fill space. Again, they make money when spaces are filled too. So, they know that. But know your city is engaged with them. Your economic development team is engaged with them. And, you know, they're constantly out marketing that space available. But we did throw some other things out, and I'll give you some examples of that. What if you drove by right now and there was a Santa's Village at an ice skating rink that you could see from I-5? Would that help you get off I-5 and stop, enjoy that attraction
mm-hmm.
or experience, and then at the same time go shop? And so things like that. What if we had more of, you know, a rock climbing wall and different reasons to get off the highway and different reasons to visit it and also shop? So we're having those kind of conversations too. I think we as people right now, we like experience-based things. You're seeing that in the huge malls, for example, across the United States. So how could we do that on a little different scale?
You're absolutely right, because that's one of the things that when, as you're traveling, if you don't have a real destination or a time frame in mind, the things that almost always get you to stop are the big E places where you can actually get off the freeway, go make candles. I mean, a lot of it, there's a big
Absolutely.
Candle making place and a shopping thing there. In some city across the United States, there's like you say, Santa's Village places, Christmas shopping areas, and knife making businesses that have a museum with carving or things like that. A place to stop. A venue that gives you something different to do, to comment about your trip.
Right, I think it does have to be different. It will change from what it historically has been, but everything does. It does morph and grow, and I think those changes can be exciting. So,
and it seems to me that they could take two or three of those very long ones. There have been some of those that had food places in them, so the infrastructure for kitchen is there. It seems to me if they took two or three of those, they could put a really nice steakhouse venue with lots of parking available and easy freeway access and,
right.
and a nice dance floor and maybe a little Saturday night band.
And we had
that would be a great venue.
We
out
had
there.
Conversations like that, and you know, we picked out some examples, and they said, you know, great idea. But like that wall, you want to do something with that one's a load bearing.
I dealt with that with my husband. He was always very narrow-minded about those things.
But we do need to have those kind of conversations, right? To create the growth, to create the opportunity. And for me, it's important that the outlet owners know that their city wants to be engaged and wants to see them thrive. And it's, you know, we don't like to see the empty buildings any more than they do.
And let me just point out, and I think a lot of people out there are going to concur with what you just said. The city needs to be engaged. They need to be with the attitude of how can we get us all past these obstacles and create something that's going to be good for all of us, but we don't want the city to buy it and build it.
Right. Well, that's really government's role, though.
But we've made some of the jurisdictions in this local area have made that mistake over a period of time and caused a lot of dismay in the community.
You'll hear me stand on my soapbox. Government's really good at public safety and infrastructure. That's what we came across the ocean for. That's how our government was formed.
That's what a republic is all about.
And you know, we're pretty good at those things. And so if we can partner our skills with the private sector, it should be a win-win. But we do need to stay in our lanes, in Jeff's opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I concur with that. And back, just flipping back to the reason that the citizens of Anderson approved that tax for the city is because that has been the modus operandi of the city of Anderson. We are there to make things possible for private industry to thrive.
Right. And we as a city, though, we use a ton of private sector help just to achieve our day-to-day. We are not a big city with lots of resources as far as having a need. I don't necessarily need a high-end team of planners. I need a planner in the building, and then we need to use our local consultants and contractors to help us fill those gaps. And we do that on the engineering side, we do it on the planning side, we do it on the IT side, on and on and on. And that's a better business decision for our city and our taxpayers to make the city of Anderson successful. Now, you can't just go rent a police officer, so we do have to have police officers employed through the city. And that is our biggest department. You know, it takes up almost 80% of our general fund, for example. So.
Exactly. So, and when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about that whole cooperation level in Shasta County that makes it one of the best places to live in the North State.
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Autumn means cooler weather and a whole new to-do list for homeowners. Absolute Chimney and Deck Cleaning offers high-quality power cleanings with video inspection on all chimney, dryer vent, and deck cleanings. Absolute Chimney and Deck Cleaning provides professional high-end service at a mid-range price. And as we enter the holiday season, we would like to give a special thank you to our veterans and active duty military for your dedicated service. Call Absolute Chimney and Deck Cleaning at 921-4237. That's 921-4237.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, prophets and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Love our feedback, and we're talking cooperation here. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. It is Thursday. This is Trish Clark, and I'm joined in the studio with City Manager Jeff Keiser from the City of Anderson. And we've been talking about some things coming up in general and specific in the City of Anderson and what we're looking forward to for the coming year. One of the things I really like is, you know, one of the things we always remember, City of Anderson is different than the other locales in that the fire department is not a part of city government. In the city of Reading, the fire department, the Reading Fire Department, is a part of city government, governed by the mayor's office, or the city council, and run by the city manager and those things. In the city of Anderson, the Anderson Fire Protection District is a special standalone district. They are funded through a small portion of property tax and a parcel tax, and they're not funded under the half-cent sales tax that was passed by the city 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while now, right?
I know. That's just amazing. I don't know what happened in the last 5 years. But at any rate, one of the things we do, however, and we're doing more of now, because it's important for the city of Anderson residents that they also have an active, good fire department, and that takes proper funding. So we're figuring out ways between the city and the fire department that we can consolidate, serve our citizens, and use all available resources in the very best way. As an example, in the building department and inspection department, there are certain functions that have to, when a building is coming in or you have an issue with the building, anything like that, it is a requirement that there be some sign-offs by the fire marshal.
Correct.
As well as a building inspector or a planning inspector and what have you. So talk a little bit about how that's working and how we're helping each other get there.
Right. It's an interesting time, Trish, because, again, your city or your fire district, neither one of us create these regulations that we're bound to enforce. I think it's important people know our state government continues to enhance regulation, but doesn't give us funding, but does require us to make sure it's coming into play. And we all know 2020 residential, the big one's solar. You have to have solar in 2020.
Which is why you have 40 permits laying on your desk right now.
Which is why I have 40 permits for 2019, right?
Exactly.
But fire sprinklers have come in. Those are things that, you know, take inspection and plan check and aren't necessarily simple.
And they're not friendly things, people.
They're not.
I don't have any. I think when you start telling people they're building a house and they're going to have to sprinkler it, that's going to be the biggest discussion you're going to have in a long time.
Well, I mean, you could make a week's worth of shows on how many regulations are there to protect me from me. And, you know, those are difficult things for people because they really just want to do good.
But recognize what we do at the local level, certainly in the city of Anderson, is we take that state or federal mandate that is handed down to us and try to figure out a way to make it work. We don't go in and add a bunch more to it.
Right.
We take out every possible thing that we can get around and maneuver and still keep us safe.
Try to be real upfront with you
reasonable.
When you come in. Like, hey, I'm looking at this building. What happens if I buy it? And just lay it out. Here's what the law says. Here's different people you can talk to who may have already dealt with this issue to help you get through it. But one of the things in Anderson we have, we do have great partnerships, right? And the fire department and Chief Lowe, he is one of those in helping development. Because like you said, your fire district has a big part of that fire, life, and safety component. And what people don't realize, that world has changed so much because now they're this first aid medical responder group. The transient population, they get multiple calls to a day. Yet you still have to keep your community going forward. And I think you're going to see more and more of the innovation coming out of the fire district with different programs they want to put forward. I think that's a great thing, but I do think you have in the city of Anderson, we have a great partnership with our local fire district. Something, you know, shout out to the fire district too. They're bigger than the city of Anderson. Our little city is just the city limits, but they go a much broader geographic area. And so I think we're very proud that we have a very responsive fire department, just like we do a police department. You call 911, we're there, and we're there quick. And I think you're going to see more partnership with the fire department, not only on the building side, but on the first aid, health response side and some things that they have coming. And also, again, we're ready for that commercial development because of the foresight they have. We have a ladder truck so you can build a multi-story building. You already have the infrastructure, as you've talked about, in place. And that's, again, I think that's what government's supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be laying the groundwork so when the private sector comes in, we're not the hurdle.
Exactly.
And that's
how can we make you successful?
Right.
We do have a phone call, and we're going to go to the line now and speak with Lily. Good morning.
Good morning, Trish. It's nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you two questions. what happened to the Baskin and Robbins that was still
coming
soon.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
And then secondly, do you ever hear from Anselmo?
Yes, I do. And will Jeff go ahead and take the first one?
So, yeah, let's talk about...
And I'll take the second one when we're done.
Let's talk, Lily. Yeah,
Lily,
great question, because that comes up a lot still. Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin-Robbins, they were looking there at North Street at the old Premier West Bank building.
Yeah.
They actually submitted plans. One of the best, well-done, thickest set of plans I've seen in my career. I mean, it was literally like an inch thick, Trish. And it was approved, ready to go. So the issue, to the best of our knowledge, became a corporate versus tenant or landlord issue. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with your local city. We want them every bit as bad as anyone else. Mm-hmm. But apparently that relationship did not work out. But I am happy to tell you, one of those parcels I talked about with somebody coming to us with something already drawn up is that particular location. And so there is other interest there, and, you know, it may not be Baskin-Robbins Dunkin' Donuts, but, again, it may be something else good, too. So.
Oh, okay.
So that is in
the unfortunately, works. We don't get to control who goes anywhere. We're here to help, encourage, get you through the process. They had plans approved. We would call, like, on a monthly basis, hey, your plans are approved. Do you want to pick them up? We knew there was issues, but still it is a business decision, and, it, you know, it certainly comes down to money and cost of operating a business. And rent and those things. So
okay, and as far as Mr. Anselmo, yes, I do. I'm still in contact with Reverge. He is in Connecticut running his family businesses there. It's a big conglomerate of corporations, and he's gone on to many different things. Writes a newspaper column there. I've actually visited with Reverge in his estate back in Connecticut a couple of times when I've been on my trips. So he's alive and well.
Good.
He unfortunately doesn't feel that California treated him well. Absolutely. One of the huge, big disappointments of my life during the time that I was on the board and after that was a development that could have been a destination place, one of the jewels of Shasta County.
That's right.
And I blame a lot of people for what happened there, but I will tell you, I don't necessarily blame Reverge Anselmo.
No,
because he certainly had a different way of doing things, but he wasn't one that you could threaten or say, you know, try to pull into line by threatening him, because he didn't take a threat well and he came back and fought. It cost both the county and Mr. Anselmo a ton of money, but that's a perfect example of a way not to do development.
Amen.
And what we avoid in the city of Anderson.
Well, is his cancer gone?
Yes, as a matter of fact. And one of the things that Reverge has done is he said that that's the only thing he can really control, because he does have an issue with government control.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. But he's gone into actually bodybuilding.
Oh.
He sent me some pictures a while back. Charles Atlas. I mean, I'm talking bodybuilding, because he said that's about the only thing he can really control that the government can't mess with.
Oh, so it's his own body.
So he's an individual person. He's very interesting.
It would be good to have something like a physical fitness place.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, really, people that are traveling up the highway, sometimes they need a break and they like to do physical things.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Lily. Appreciate it.
Okay,
one
nice
of the,
talking to you.
Same to you. One of the things that Carl and I have talked about, maybe we'll do this coming year, is we're going to try and get a hold of Reverge one morning and see if we can't get him to come on the radio and just update us, because I know a lot of people in Shasta County lament and feel badly that place. And I can't update anybody. I know that there is the person that purchased it is still doing some things up there and coming in compliance with some other things. I don't know whether it'll ever open again, but it was a jewel while it was there.
Yeah, let's hope it does.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful spot.
It is. He created something really, really worthwhile there. So we're just about out of time here. We have another call coming in, but I think we're not going to be able to take that call because we're just about out of time. So, Jeff, final thought.
2020. Okay, first coming up, Anderson Crab Feed. It's that time of year.
Yes.
January 18th.
Get your tickets because we sell out immediate. That's the first and the best and the biggest and
absolutely.
The greatest Shasta District Fairgrounds.
So, positive things. Shasta District Fair, you hit on that. Mosquito Serenade, 39th season.
Wow.
Next year will be 40. Look for big things. And look for big announcements for Anderson Explodes coming in March. We are going to have an awesome July 3rd down in Anderson this year.
Oh, yes, we are. I know the secret there, and it is way good.
Yeah.
Way cool.
Couldn't be better.
Thanks so much, Jeff, for joining me. And we're going to do this on a regular basis because I think there's
good.
A lot of interest out there about what's happening down in the city
of
Anderson.
I appreciate you taking time to have us on.
I love it. And we'll be right back after these messages with a guest from a solar company we're going to talk to.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. Turkish media say authorities have detained seven people as part of an investigation into how former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn fled to Lebanon from Japan via Istanbul. The private DHAA news agency reports those detained are four pilots, a cargo company manager, and two airport workers. The impeachment of President Trump appears to be helping his re-election campaign raise more money.
While House Democrats carried out an impeachment investigation during the final months of 2019, the Trump campaign enjoyed its best fundraising quarter of the 2020 election cycle. It raised $46 million during the fourth quarter and finished the year with nearly $103 million in cash on hand. Campaign Chairman Brad Parscale says the president's war chest and grassroots army make his re-election campaign an unstoppable juggernaut.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu would like to seek immunity from corruption charges in hopes of delaying his trial. Israeli Deputy Minister for Diplomacy Dr. Michael Oren tells the Salem Radio Network that Netanyahu faces serious charges.
He is facing indictments on three counts, including an indictment of bribery, very, very severe.
Netanyahu's immunity request could put his trial on hold until after elections in March, when he hopes to win a majority coalition that would shield him from prosecution. Former Obama Housing Secretary Julian Castro is ending his run for president. The former San Antonio mayor languished at around 1% in the polls and lagged behind its 2020 rivals in fundraising. Castro was the only Latino candidate in the field and one of the biggest voices on immigration. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 176.5 points at 28,714. The Nasdaq is ahead 62. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Scientists think they can make a century-old tuberculosis vaccine far more protective simply by changing how they give it.
Tuberculosis kills more than a million people a year, mostly in poor countries. The only vaccine protects babies, but it's far less effective at preventing teens and adults from getting the deadly lung infection. In tests with monkeys, researchers found the vaccine worked dramatically better when injected straight into the bloodstream instead of today's skin deep shot. More safety studies are needed before the approach is tested in people. The findings appear in the journal Nature. I'm Shelley Adler.
Turkey's parliament has authorized the deployment of troops to Libya to support the UN-backed government in Tripoli, battle forces loyal to a rival government that is seeking to capture the capital. Turkish lawmakers voted at an emergency session in favor of a one-year mandate, allowing the government to dispatch troops. News and analysis at townhall.com. Hong Kong's Law Society and Bar Association has condemned abusive graffiti sprayed by protesters on a court building that insulted a judge by name. Hong Kong police spokesman Kwok Ka-chun says the protesters are hypocrites.
The most despicable thing is the supporters of these rioters hold press interview and accuse the police of committing such destructive acts. They make up false accounts to smear the police and confuse the public.
The incident came Wednesday during a New Year's Day anti-government march that swiftly devolved into running battles between police and hardcore demonstrators. Conservatives are asking a judge to find the Wisconsin Elections Commission in contempt for not immediately purging more than 200,000 voters from the rolls. A judge last month ordered the purge of voters and may have moved and didn't respond within 30 days. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio for the North State. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call at 605-4567. This is January 2nd, the first Free Fire Radio show of 2020. It's not Carl and Linda, as you can tell. It's Thursday, so it's Trish Clark. And I was joined the first hour and held him over here for just a minute with the city manager from the city of Anderson, Jeff Keyser. My guest this hour was supposed to be a gentleman from the solar company, but I don't know, our schedule must have gotten crossed someplace along the line because he hasn't shown up. So I've kind of leaned on Jeff to stay for another segment, although he does have a meeting at 8:30. So we're going to talk for another few minutes, and then you guys are going to have to get on that phone and ask me questions because I wasn't prepared to spend the next 45 minutes alone. But we'll figure it out as we go.
You're not alone. I'm here for you.
That's right. I've got Ashley. Yeah, I love having Ashley in the control room, and so we'll make it. We'll keep you entertained for the next hour. Today, we're looking at a high of 62 and a low of 39 in the city of Redding. It's about 44 degrees as we speak now. We're looking again for sunny today, partly cloudy tonight with a low around 39. And on Friday, partly sunny with a high near 60. And Friday night, showers likely, mainly after 10 p.m. And about 70% chance of some considerable rain. On Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 56 and a low of 35. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 56, Sunday night a low of 36. On Monday, sunny with a high near 61 and a low of 37. And mostly sunny on Tuesday with a high near 57 and a low of 35. So looks like we'll have a little rain there for one day, and that's kind of a good way that we're getting these storms, and they're soaking in, filling up the ground reservoirs and filling the lake, but not causing us any flooding problems or disaster problems or, God forbid, any power outages.
Right.
So we'll be happy that we don't have that. The weather is always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And again, if you've got anything you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 605-4567. So, Jeff, we have always many, many more things. One of the things I didn't get a chance to talk about is we have issues with building enforcement from time to time. Let's explain how that whole thing works. There's a requirement that certain types of businesses have a yearly inspection by the fire department. We have a whole criteria at the fire department where we go through. They have to be inspected, certain things, egress, access, sprinkler systems, a whole list of things that have to pass and be safe for the people who are shopping in these stores or going into them. And specifically, if the fire department or the city receives a complaint from someone, says, okay, this business is unsafe, this business is doing this, we have to follow up on that.
Right. It's important to note, though, it's just an allegation at that point. And because making complaints is free. but know that we take that in a manner that when we go out, that is complaint driven. That doesn't mean it's true, Trish. And so it's important that we as
or that there isn't a solution that's easy for the business owner and the city or the fire department.
Absolutely. You know, so we want to validate a concern before we make it a big issue. And so that's not uncommon in any city. But there are various rigorous regulations for public health and safety. You know, when we become officers of the city, that is what we're sworn in to do. That is the job. And it's not necessarily a pleasant job. But, you know, for the most part, I have to say, you know, 99% of your businesses do all of that with zero issues. They make their work or their commercial space a very vibrant, great experience that's safe and meets all the regulations. But occasionally we do get complaint driven things that we have to go down and validate. And then, you know, we're there to work with the tenant, or the landlord to make sure their building is compliant. But those are challenges, in today's world, right? So.
Well, they are. And specifically the other thing we run into is there may be an established business, in a building, that is not got all the modern codes and everything, but they're an established business. They grandfathered in. If someone goes in, they move out of there, and someone goes in with a different kind of operation.
A change of use, we
call
it.
And they go into a building that has been occupied by a business for many years, and we didn't have any problems with it. Now they had an XYZ store in there before, and now they want to do an ABC operation, and that's a change of use. Now we have to start making them update.
They have to come to compliant to today's code, not yesterday's code that the building was built to. And those are difficult things, right? Very few people go into business with just excess money. And you're budgeted right out. And so that is part of the challenge in California with fire sprinklers, ADA. Those are two big ones right there, where you do see the business decision made, do I occupy an old building or do I build new? And so those are challenges. You know, at the City of Anderson, we encourage you to come talk to us.
Before you buy it,
before you lease, before you do whatever. Not that we can steer you on how to do, but we can educate you on either some history of that building and what the uses that it can be easily, or what changes would need to be made if you went with a different use, and steer you to some people who may have done it recently and what their experience is. Because again, as the city, we only know what we know too. We don't know what your architecture cost is. We don't know some of those things. That's not what we do for a living. But, going into business is not easy, but you know, it's important. If you're going to make that big step, we need you to be successful too. And those are just challenges that are out there today. And, you know, the inspections, we go through that at City Hall, too. I mean, the fire department has to come through and make sure our sprinkler is safe. We are an assembly for people. We have city council chambers. We need our building just to be as safe as any other commercial building in town.
Well, and we just had to go through some physical things at the actual fire department that we had to upgrade and change. And as you, I mean, you have a heating system in an old building that goes defunct, and you have to put a new one in, and then you come in and find out, oops, in order to put in this new heating system, now we have to meet all of these new codes and these new requirements that weren't there when we put the last one in.
You're
going to
see some things in 2020, again, not locally driven, but regulations where our water bill has to be available in the 5 most popular languages and all these things. But
you don't even want to get me started on that whole thing.
Which is all fine, but there's a cost to you as a taxpayer for that too. And we often forget that when these things are implemented, somebody has to pay for those things. Well, there is no such thing as government money. And that's one of my big gripes out there. Well, the government can just do it. Well, folks, that's all taxpayer money. That's your money. And it's important we remember those things when we move ahead. With additional regulation, those things I find interesting at times.
Well, and I think that we, you know, just to jump a little bit here, because one of the things that I have so supported about the Trump administration is the fact that he has really systematically gone through, and we don't hear a lot about it, but I know as you talk to and look at the things that he's done in federal regulations, that he has streamlined so many processes. There was a show that was done. during, I think, the second year, where for every new regulation that had been passed at the federal level, he had demanded that they get rid of at least two, and as it turned out, they had gotten rid of between 15 and 20 regulations at the federal level for every new one they had passed during that first 2 years.
It's great to see those things, because we do need checks and balances.
That's exactly right. We need to be sure that the things that our public uses are safe, are habitable for, but we don't want overkill. We need common sense regulations.
And I think some of those common sense regulations that we take for granted that we do want, weights and measures comes out of the county. You know, when you buy a gallon of gas, you want to know you're getting a gallon of gas. Those things happen. You have a lot on the food safety side. You want to know when you buy a food product out of a freezer section or a refrigeration section that it's been maintained at the proper temperature. We don't give a lot of thought to that as citizens, but those are important things. Those are public health and safety things. But Trish, something we might want to hit on real quick is the PSPS, the public safety power shutoffs, and talking about the cooperation we had with the fire department on that. And, you know, maybe some positive back towards our local PG&E people who really are trying to help your local area get through this time.
Well, and we had a really good effort there because we put our public safety
PSPS, public safety power shutoff.
Yes, okay. We had the PG&E thing at the Frontier Senior Center there in Anderson, with great cooperation with the police department, the fire department, the city, and PG&E. During that process, we were able to streamline a lot of those lines, so that now all of those agencies working together, we're protecting the downtown area so that all of our businesses are not so impacted. We've been able to isolate what needs to be turned off and what doesn't need to be turned off.
Right.
Because I don't think we've seen the end of that. I think as we're going forward, we're going to see more of it.
It's here to stay for a while.
They've got a lot of problem solving that we can't get involved in, but we certainly can at the local level. Jeff, I want to thank you for staying, and I wish you didn't have an 8:30 because we could talk for the other.
I enjoy being here, but unfortunately, it's a busy day. It's like the second Monday of the week, right?
It certainly is. And we're all done with the Wednesday holidays. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with your phone calls, because I'm sure you've got something to talk about. And thanks to the city of Anderson for sharing their time. We'll be right back after these messages.
Armstrong and Getty here. We'll be on right after Carl and Linda's Free Fire Radio Show.
Join us right here from 9 till noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Season greetings. I'm Celestina Traver, Shasta County Veterans Service Officer and Army Veteran. The Veterans Service Office is grateful for our troops who make a courageous effort year-round. With your help, Americans continue to enjoy the liberties given to them so long ago. We thank you for your sacrifices. My staff and I would like to salute all active duty, their families, and local veterans. We wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Supersonic man out of you. Stop me now.
I'm having such a good time.
There you go, and we are having a good time. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio for the North State. Give us a call at 605-4567. This is January 2nd, the first Free Fire Radio show of the new year. It's Thursday, so it's Trish Clark. Carl and Linda will be back tomorrow. We'll get started with it. This is like the second Monday of the week. It's these Wednesday holidays have really been difficult, have they not, to try to figure out what day of the week it is and what you're supposed to be doing next. It's very confusing. So I, for one, am always kind of glad in January when all of that is kind of done, and we can get back to some kind of a routine, start the new year, move through the winter, kind of start looking forward, be done with all of the holiday stuff, which is enjoyable. It's good to get together with family and friends. From my point of view, it's all changed so much over the many years that it's kind of lost that wonderful Santa Claus, the reason and you know, that portion of Christmas, and then also the reason for the season. And I think that our life has gotten so complicated and so full of all things that really don't have to do with family and friends and relaxing, and the holidays have gotten pretty complicated. My point of view, I'm glad it's over and looking forward to going into the next year. We have a phone call. Nick, welcome.
Hey, I'm glad the holiday season's over also, because it seems to be the stealing season.
There's just a lot of negative things that didn't used to be associated with Christmas that I remember, you know, as I was growing up and having a family and all of those things. It's changed a lot. Doesn't do it for me like it used to.
Oh, gosh, you've got to lock down everything and make sure everything's buttoned up tight, because in the morning when you get up, it might not be there.
Even the process of shopping becomes a challenge, because you go out and you used to be you'd go and do a day at the mall and pick up some packages and put them in your car and then maybe stop and have a coffee and what have you. And now you got to think about, well, if I put something in my car, I got to move my car because somebody might be casing me, and now they're going to know I got packages in there and they're going to break into it. And so it just becomes very complicated and not festive.
I think handcuffs might be a big item this next year. Women can handcuff their purse to themselves and not have to worry about it getting stolen.
Well, you almost want to be sure that it's under your coat. And yeah, it's become challenging.
Listen, I'm really glad that Lily called and brought up the Revenge and Selmo incident up there. Yes, Revenge. You know, not very often does a subject come up to where a leader, a councilman or a city or a supervisor or somebody like that has the opportunity to really rise to the top, kind of be the cream, that brings them out as a leader, that gives them the opportunity to stand up and say, hey, hold on, this isn't right. This could really be something that could benefit our community, and we can't really just get in a pissing match because we've got a conflict of egos here. Let's sort this out, and let's make this right, and let's keep him in our community. And to me, that was Leonard Modi's opportunity right there, and he didn't rise to the top.
Well, let's be clear. That was not in Leonard Modi's district. That was in Les Baugh's district.
Well, it really doesn't matter. It's in Shasta County.
Neither one of them stepped up.
Should have Shasta County's best interests at heart. And when you really get down to it, Leonard has been the big cheese on the supervisors for quite a while, whether he's the chair or not. He's pretty much steered way things are going to go. And like I say, you know, if Steve Morgan, for example, was there, that would have been the chance to stand up and say, hold it, we've got to get this sorted out. This is going to benefit us. We can't let this gem get away from us, this opportunity. And nobody rose up. And if you look, you know, in the last 11 years, crime has just gotten completely out of control. And, you know, we need to maybe start looking at somebody else as a leader. And we're going to have that opportunity in this next election. I want to bring to your attention that Sunday at 10 o'clock on Sovereign Minds, I'm going to be on there with Linda Kent, and we are going to dissect the Measure A, and we have a different proposal to go along. I'd encourage everybody to tune in and call in and give us your thoughts. We want to put a measure on there that's palatable to all the people that will benefit Shasta County and just not just the bureaucracies that are going to benefit from it.
You know, there are certainly two sides or three sides to the issue of this Measure A, and I encourage everybody to listen to everything. Get involved, find out the facts from both sides, ask the good questions before you vote.
Oh, yes. You know, you can go online to SaveShasta.com, and I'm going to have the measure sitting right there, and I'm going to go from line to line, and I'm going to say what I don't like about it. And you're welcome to call in and say, hey, Nick, you know, you might be a little bit wrong about this. Let's look at this one here. And let's get something everybody agrees on instead of something that's shoved down our throats that I don't think is going to do as much good as it possibly could.
Well, and certainly I think we can agree at the very least that we absolutely have to do something at the local level. We are bound by the state and federal government and the bureaucracies that they are. And at this local level, we really can't have much of an impact given our representation at what those decisions are. So
well,
if we're going to solve this problem, we really have to solve it at the local level. But we need to be sure we're doing the right thing when we move forward with that.
The local level is the only place that we can have any impact here at Shasta County. And you're absolutely right. You know, with Revenge and Selmo,
Revenge.
Les Baugh had the chance to
it wasn't Revenge. It was Revenge.
Well, I do the best I can.
I know. You do that on purpose, but that's not a good nickname.
I don't do that on purpose. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Revenge, yeah.
But, you know, Les Baugh, he had the chance to rise to the top and be the leader. And, you know, he could have measured up quite a bit better. I don't remember if he had any input at all on
that. Actually, he did. And I, you know, at some point, I would we haven't talked about that whole project in a long time. When that project came in, Nick, I had retired. I was not running for reelection. I met with Mr. Anselmo and his wife when they first brought the project in. I set up and we had just rewritten the wine ordinance in Shasta County specifically to allow the kind of operation that he envisioned early on with the wineries coming in to the area. We had had some of the vintners come to me and say, you know, our ordinance just doesn't work for what we want to do. We can't import any grapes. We can't do this. We can't do that. So I set up a working group. This is when I was on the board. I set up a working group with Jim Cook from the planning department and all the vintners in Shasta County. And we rewrote the ordinance, looked at Napa Valley, that whole area, things that worked up and down the state in the different wine places, and rewrote the ordinance so that someone could come in and do the kind of project that, Mr. Anselmo came here with. I set up, after they met with me, I explained to them that I wasn't going to be around to see that through, but I set up a meeting with the county administrative officer, Mr. Mull from the planning department, and Mr. Baugh, the new incoming supervisor. This was like in October or November. We met, we laid it out. I, you know, just encouraged them to work with Mr. Anselmo. That was probably one of the first mistakes, because those of you who were around at that time will probably remember that I had less than a stellar relationship with Mr. Mull in the planning department, because I had kind of insisted for some time that he do his job, and that it wasn't his job to decide what would be located in Shasta County in different areas. It was his job to receive the application, process it, and bring it to the board of supervisors with a recommendation, because that was our job to decide whether or not it was there.
That's exactly my point. You've got big egos there that are way over their head, that are if you piss me off, your project is not moving forward.
We're going to take a break right here, Nick. Go ahead and stay on the line, and we'll finish that conversation on the other side.
That sounds great.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property, so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Sudhalter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center. caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Experience what it's like to be an archaeologist, biologist, or astromathematician in Turtle Bay's Mystery of the Mayan Medallion on display September 28th through January 12th. Delve into science, language, history, and mathematics in this hands-on immersive treasure hunt of an exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have your dad's dimples, your mom's curly hair? What makes us, us? Explore genomic science in Turtle Bay's newest expedition, Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, on display September 21st through January 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
There might be a little dust on the bottom, but don't let it fool.
Great choice of song. KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, your talk radio for the North State. Give us a call at 605-4567. This is the second day of January 2020. It's about 8:35. It is Thursday, so this is Trish Clark. I thank you for joining us this morning. Carl and Linda will be back tomorrow, and we'll get back to our regular schedule. I had a city manager from the city of Anderson in for the first hour and 15 minutes of the show, and we brought up all kinds of things about planning and what's going on down in the city of Anderson. I've got Nick on the phone right now, and we've been talking about the project up on the hill, Anselmo's Vineyards. And he gave me a great opening. This has been something that I've been wanting to update the community on for a long time. And I think there's people out there that really don't realize exactly what happened and how important it is that our elected officials play nice with developers when they come into the community. And certainly Anselmo Vineyards was one of those opportunities that really failed in Shasta County. And my opinion, and I'm entitled to it, and can air it, thank God, because I have this place on the radio, that was one of the times that our elected officials and bureaucracy really didn't play to the benefit of the citizens of Shasta County. We talked a little bit about how that project started. Again, I will remind people that probably one of the things, talk about petty, that went against Mr. Anselmo was the fact that I was involved with the project. I left office at that time, was not a favorite in the planning department. And I think that was part of what played into the way that Mr. Anselmo was treated. You go forward, one thing after another. It started with a grading permit that Mr. Anselmo was clearing some blackberry bushes on his property. The county went up and red-tagged him and then promptly got every state and federal agency involved with a cease and desist order on everything that was going on up there. I'm kind of putting it in a nutshell. Long story short on that whole thing, Reverge didn't just do as he was told and get a grading permit. You know, you can either get a grading permit or we'll hold up this project forever kind of stuff. He sort of saw that as blackmail, hired a team of attorneys, and actually beat them on that. But it was 8 months later and $80,000 later for Mr. Anselmo. I don't know how much did the county cost. And the bottom line of that whole start is that every agency, state and federal, backed off basically saying, you're right, we were wrong, and they all went away except Shasta County. And Mr. Mull insisted that you're either going to get a grading permit for this property, made the statement in amongst a lot of people who heard it, or you will never see an occupancy permit for your restaurant. That started the battle. Did Mr. Anselmo do everything right? Absolutely not. He got much bad advice along the way, hired some people who kind of encouraged him, did some things on the property that weren't exactly the way they should have been, but it was a battle between people, one-upmanship all the way down the line, and no cooperation. Any supervisor of the five that were there that would have stepped forward and taken that under control and acted like elected officials could have solved that problem at any time. Nobody would do that. They were going to beat it. $38 million later, a beautiful venue, a battle that just went on and on. I finally worked as a consultant with one of the civil engineers here in town to get that property all in a line, get the zoning and everything together so Mr. Anselmo could sell that project. Again, he had invested $38 million in a venue in Shasta County that could have been a jewel of the North State. He sold it for about $11 million. The new owners came in. They had a roadmap of how to get where they needed to be. They knew going into it that in addition to the $11 million they'd spend, it was going to cost them another $1.5 million to bring it in total compliance to move forward with the county. For whatever reason, they didn't do that. They closed the venue available. If you drive up there, it's the saddest thing you ever saw in your life. If you know what it looked like to begin with, what the possibility was for it, and what it is now. It's a vacant. Maybe they're growing some grapes. I don't even know what the status is of it right now. But it's a perfect example of how not cooperating with a person with a vision and money in a project can be so disastrous to a county. And thanks, Nick and Lily, for bringing that up and letting me expound on that, because
well,
it just makes me angry.
If that project, if you had the administration of Anderson running the county and you were still a supervisor, do you think that project would have gone forward?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it would have ended up to be not only what it was then. His vision was a small boutique hotel retreat kind of a venue. It had an airstrip. His vision was... I actually visited a spa down in Arizona that kind of expanded on the vision he had, where big businesses would fly in a group of their people, do a retreat for a week, 10 days. Nothing but money making, no adverse impact whatsoever. It just could have been a jewel, and we just did not have the proper people in place at the right time to make that happen. And I'm not saying that Mr. Anselmo was not difficult to deal with.
Well, because
he got his back up and he there was mistakes on both sides. I'll say that right down the line.
Well, it appears to me that the attitude of the supervisors, the ones involved, is I'm elected, I'm the boss, and I'll tell you how to do things instead of I'm here to represent the people. What's best for the people in this? Let's get this ironed out.
I would agree with you that we certainly could use some changes on the current Board of Supervisors. We need more supervisors who are willing to do the job they're paid for, i.e. be out in the community, be involved with the constituency, and work with people who want to come in here and do development. I don't hear that, and I'm not as involved as I once was, but I certainly am out there enough that I talk to a lot of people, business people who try to do business in this county, and they really like it when they can get a project with the city of Anderson, because they have established that relationship and that attitude that goes before them that says, we're going to help you be successful, as opposed to, I can make any rules and you'll do as I say, or, you know, how can I get in your way?
Well, you know, I read a book by a FBI profiler. Hunter was his name. I think it was Mike Hunter or something. And he said the only way you can predict the future is by the past. And the past isn't so rosy. But I look at Dale Ball and what he's done in the past, cleaning up our homeless camps, being involved with the continuum of care and that kind of stuff. And you know, people need to take a hard look at him. He's running for supervisor. This could be the change we need there. This could be the leader we need there. He started the Shasta Support Services.
Yeah, well, we have three seats up for election in the upcoming election. District 2, District 4, and District 3.
Well, actually, just two seats because nobody's running against Mary Rickard.
And is the filing period over?
I think it is. And you know what? I've got nothing to say negative about Mary Rickard or Steve Morgan. You know, let the people in their district decide how they want to be represented. But we've got to remember that we are electing somebody to represent us, not tell us what to do. And that's what's gotten away from our government. These people get elected, and they've decided that they're going to tell us how things are.
Well, and that's unfortunate. I'm making all kinds of friends here this morning, so I'll beat up on another department in the county. When in the past, When there was an election coming up, the county clerk's office, the elections department, always would have articles and public service announcements about the seats that were available, what upcoming elections were coming up, what judges were going to, you know, district, sheriff, any of the elected positions that were coming up for election. And those things were always out there advertised so that the people knew what was going on with their elected officials, because there's a lot of elected officials in Shasta County, and a lot of people don't even know that those terms, you know, we get an opportunity every 4 years to look at their job performance. All these elected officials, your treasurer, your auditor, your county clerk, the four supervisors, judges, every 6 years, I think. But there's all kinds of elected officials there that we get the opportunity to give a grade when they're up for re-election. Right now, people don't even know there's an election coming up at the local level. Very few people know which seats are available, who's in those seats. And so how can you grade and give them another term? And I have no issues with Mary Rickard or Morgan. I don't. I mean, I got no issues with them. I must say that I'm impressed with Mr. Kameni and the way he's come on board. Whether you agree with Measure A or not, you certainly have to give him credit for getting involved and trying to make a difference one way or the other.
I absolutely do. And, you know, he's done a good job of, you know, coming up and saying, here, I've got a plan here. And we need a plan. I just don't agree with his plan. But I haven't got a bad thing to say about Joe. He's been open to me. I've called him. I've emailed him. He gave me a copy of the measure, and that's when I decided I didn't like it. I supported it up till I saw what was in writing. And I suspect, as any political decision that goes along, that you've got to have some give and take. And sometimes I don't like the take that you've got to take. And
okay, we're going to have to take a break, Nick, and we'll be right back after these messages.
All right.
My roots, and this is what I love. 'Cause everybody knows me, and I know them, and I believe that's the way we were supposed to live. I wouldn't trade one single day here in small town USA.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 4. Crime is the number one issue in Shasta County today, causing noticeable deterioration in our quality of life. The current Board of Supervisors' answer to this is to raise your taxes. California is already the highest tax state in the union, and this only pushes people out of our county and our state. There is a better way, and that is to grow our economy. Reducing regulations and fees is the answer, and I will fight for this. I am Patrick Henry Jones, and I'd be honored to earn your vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn wiper blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $11.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop off your car or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Home of the friendly oil change.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
And now, back to our show.
Where I come from, where I'll be when it's said and done. And I'm proud as anyone, that's where I come from.
And welcome back. This is KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio for the North State. Give us a call at 605-4567 if you've got something you'd like to talk about. I had the City of Anderson city manager on for the first hour of the show. This is Trish Clark because it's Thursday, and I'm just delighted to be able to do this first show of 2020, January 2nd, 2020. I'm going to like saying that a whole lot better. It's about 42 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 62 and a low of 30 and a little rain on Saturday, but it looks clear for the rest of the week. Other than that, weather as always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. I have Nick on the line, and we've been talking about some different things, and thanks for helping me fill this last half hour, Nick. That's kind of a good thing. We talked a little bit about Measure A.
Trish, you mentioned that people aren't aware that of the elections that were coming up. In particular, you mentioned judges. And I've been told of a few charges that have been dropped by a local judge. And when we get the opportunity to vote that judge out, it should be brought to people's attention, you know, that maybe we do need a change here.
And, but you know, we don't ever know that because if nobody challenges them, then their name is not even on the ballot as let's say, okay, Mary Rickard. That is still a seat that there is an election there, and she will, you know, she'll go through the process, but if she's only the only one, but her name's still going to be on the ballot. That's not true in the case of judges. If nobody challenges them, the public doesn't even know that there's an opportunity to take them on.
Yeah, but we don't hardly have a news outlet that's bringing this to our attention. You know, the paper doesn't show but about three local articles a day.
But we do have radio stations, and we do have a way to get that information out with Facebook and web pages. And if our county clerk took the time to make those things available and keep her page up to date, you know, I call a spade, Nick. You know I do. Had this conversation with her and her staff. They just don't send these public announcements out like Blast from the Past. Ann Reed was on the air, on the radio, on the talk shows, out there talking about elections and getting people involved. Yes, we did have a newspaper, but we don't have that anymore, and that's unfortunate.
Is this something that the supervisors could nudge them to do? Say, hey,
absolutely.
To the clerk, you need to start doing this.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's something the public needs to bring to the supervisors' attentions because the supervisors are put in there to represent us.
Well, and they do, and they certainly could. They themselves could be sending out press releases. There's a lot of things that a county supervisor can do to bring awareness to issues.
You know,
they kind of like being under the radar, if you will, where it isn't brought to anybody's attention. It's an unfortunate thing. And, you know, there's blame to go around, though, because we as an electorate need to be more engaged and more involved.
Absolutely. You know, I will say something about Mary Rickard. There was a East Valley Times, a little newspaper from Palos Cedro that covered Bernie and all that, and Mary Rickard had something in there every week saying what she'd done during the week and what was going on. Disappointingly, that isn't being published anymore. It was probably a little bit more. It was mostly online. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when Baron Browning was on there and I talked about me being on the Sovereign Minds this Sunday at 10, he said, Nick, you know, go ahead and talk about Bechere, but bring a solution to the table. And I have brought a solution to the table. It's I think that they should drop this Measure A, not put it on the ballot, and have a conversation with myself, Patrick Jones, other people about what we want done in our community, and put a measure on in November that we like, that represents us, that's what we want.
Well, and if I have a criticism of the way this is handled, it's been my criticism almost from the time I was involved in government. It's like, this is the way government does it, and it's wrong. Forest Service does it. Bureau of Land Management, they come up and they go through a whole process of looking at things, but they don't get to the public until they already have kind of made a decision.
Oh, and that's right. You know, I was told by one of the supervisors that 90% of the time when something comes to the supervisor's meeting and the public has a chance to talk about it, they've already made up their mind.
Well, specifically, you take any of the Forest Service projects, let's get off beating up the local officials, and just kind of go to, let's say that the Forest Service wants to do something on the forest and close a road. And by the time it gets to the public process where people can come in and appeal and blah, blah, they're appealing to decisions already made. The Forest Service or the Bureau of Land Management or anything, they already have a preferred alternative.
And how do you find out they're going to have a public meeting?
Well, the public meeting is way down the line, first off, and the decision's already made. The second thing is, unless you actually sit there and read the Federal Registry on a regular basis, you have no idea what's going on.
That's right.
And that's at the local level, too, unless you pay attention. And, you know, you don't have to go to the Board of Supervisors meeting or the City of Reading meeting or the City of Anderson or City of Shasta Lake. All of those meetings are online. They're all broadcast on the public service name. The other thing is, if you are an interested citizen, you care what the city's doing, the county, all of their agendas are online. It would take you a half hour a month to sit down and look at the agenda for the city of council meeting in the city of Shasta Lake, if that's where you live. Or look at the agenda on the Board of Supervisors. Everything they're going to talk about or do is listed on that agenda. That's a good way to keep informed on what's happening without going to the meeting. You see something
that
piques your interest, then go and find out about it before it happens.
On top of that, each meeting you can go back and see what went on. They're archived
on
video.
Exactly, I'm going to
point a couple of those out Sunday, some of the decisions that were made and how I don't agree with them and how we were misled.
Well, and things that are on the consent calendar. Everybody assumes that that's a given thing, that was ever on the consent calendar is just going to be enacted in one motion without a discussion. That's not necessarily true. Anybody can take and ask that any item on the consent calendar on any of those agendas be pulled off of that regular calendar or off of the consent calendar and put into open session.
As a matter of fact, I've done that at City of Reading council meetings.
So, I mean, you don't have to go to all the meetings as a citizen, but across the United States, I will tell you that we get the kind of government we deserve. And if you're not paying any attention at all to what's happening at your local level, at the state level, and at the federal level, and you're not engaged and you listen to just sound bits on news briefs, you're not getting the information. You don't know what's going on. And you know, you're going to take some part in this. We have a republic. Our form of government works really well, but it takes the people being involved. Most of the laws, our federal constitution, are a guideline as to what government can't do. It's the things that are prohibited. The rest of it is left to the local and the citizens. But if we don't have an involved citizenry, whether it's down to who's on your local school board or who's president of the United States, then we kind of get what we get.
You know, in all fairness, too, you know, sometimes our city councilors and our supervisors are misled by heads of the departments.
That's exactly right. They need to get information from experts other than the staff, and I'm not beating up on any staff at the present time. But you know what? If we've elected you to make a decision, you better have all the facts before you make that decision and not just make it on a staff report.
Unless you've already got an agenda and you want to go along with the misled facts.
There you go, Nick. Hey, thanks for sharing this last 45 minutes with me.
Let's do this again. We'll pick on the city of Reading.
Okay, let's do it. We'll go. And thank you so much for joining me on this first show of the new year. I'll see you next Thursday. Carl and Linda will be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining the conversation. This is KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio for the North State. Thanks for joining me.
My ground.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.